Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Namaskar. Welcome to another episode of Beyond Headlines with Akhilesh Bhargav and me, Sujit Nair. The interesting factor, Akhilesh, is normally when in any country, any economy, when the finance minister, when the banking head, the RBI head in this case, and you know, such people go out in the market and say, you know what, we will take care of things. Okay, we will get the market back. We will ensure that good policies are put in place. Immediately, the market reflects, the market reacts, and market reacts very positively. This is seen through and through, any country in the world. But unfortunately, if you see the last few incidences, Jaitley's words has fallen in deaf ears. The market doesn't take him seriously, nor does in fact, the market reacts adversely on his commitments. Has Jaitley and the BJP government lost its credibility, economically speaking?
You know, I'll take on what you mentioned, that Jaitley comes on the air to cool the market or reassure or to cheer up the market, but the cheer doesn't come. And the last incident was the stock markets were in a free fall. This was because of Yes Bank saga and ILFS payment default. They were in a complete free fall. The media was calling it a bloodbath. That day we had India Bulls share going down by 40%. We had Dewan Housing Finance share going down by 60%. Shares were tanking. The stock market itself went down by 4%, which is a substantial fall. It was time to do crisis management. It was time to do firefighting. So we had, in a very unprecedented manner, the Reserve Bank governor and the SEBI chairman, they issued a joint statement. They basically tried to fray down the market and ensure that tempers cooled down. It did not work. The market still kept going down. That's the point of time Arun Jaitley came on the scene. Now that's the highest finance authority in the country. And he said, don't worry, there is enough liquidity in the system for mutual funds and NBFCs because the crisis was because of a payment default and there's nothing to worry about. The market still went down. In other words, Arun Jaitley's words were of absolutely no use. So, you're right. At a time like this, when the crisis was not so large either and when it was just nervousness in the market, words of reassurance should have meant a lot. The market should have cooled. The nervousness should have gone. Nothing like that happened.
Why does this day happen? Why don't people take Jaitley seriously?
They don't take Mr. Jaitley seriously, for two reasons. The first is, it is now, you know, very certain that at least from an economic perspective, the government suffers from a credibility crisis. You will remember demonetization. India was rocking at that point of time. Everybody was going gaga about India. And then came demonetization. It came with tall promises. Arun Jaitley himself was on record saying that about 5 lakh crores of cash will never come into the system. And that was called the demonetization dividend. Nothing like that happened. The recent figures of RBI were 99.3% of the cash came back in the system. So their contention of demonetization was a mega flop, Sujit. Their contentions on ease of doing business are again wrong. They're only chasing ratings by World Bank and IMF and other agencies. But the ground reality of ease of doing business is pathetic. So if the finance minister wants to, you know, refer to ratings and then claim all is good in terms of ease of doing business, but the ground level entrepreneur is suffering, he only looks at a big disconnect between the reality and what the finance minister is claiming. So again, you have a loss of credibility. The recent GDP figures that came up, wherein the government claimed that, you know, the GDP growth for the quarter is 8.2%. you had the IIM Ahmedabad professor Dholakia challenging that 8.2% to say that the figures are not correct somewhere. So you have another instance of the government's claims not hitting the ground reality correctly. You have the same situation with Make in India.
Correct.
It's a flagship program of the government. It is supposed to really deliver. Again, big disconnect between the claim and what the ground reality is. And what has been irking is that whenever there is this kind of a disconnect, it's okay to make a bold statement, a statement of intent. But it is not okay to make a statement of actual claim when it has not happened. One of the ones that irks the most is the unemployment figures. The government target, the target of Mr. Modi was, creating employment to the tune of 10 million jobs a month. We never hit that figure. We probably hit 10 million a year if at all it came. But they have never accepted it. Now they are giving the EPFO figures, the ESIC figures to say that look at those rising figures. But those figures are not because of new jobs. Those figures are because of existing labor and now getting into the EPFO database. So you have, a feeling that jobs have come in. But the ground reality is something else. So there is a huge, I think, credibility crisis. There's a disconnect between reality and what the government claims.
Akhilesh, in India for the last 70 years, we had corrupt government. We had government with policy paralysis. We had government that were ineffective. We had government that didn't know how to do business. Okay, we had all these sorts of government. But this time, we are seeing a government which lies. Blatant lies. This is a new thing. This is a new one. Okay, now this is actually not only causing problems in India, but it is also causing problems for India.
Well,
when it comes to a global economy.
True. I mean, if the highest persons in the government are found to have made statements which are contrary to the facts, and they are very apparently contrary, then you do end up, India loses. It is the Indian credibility which is at stake. Like, for example, in our circles, we always put figures coming out of China to be suspect because they are doctored figures. China is a communist country, it's an autocracy, they get away with it. But India is a democracy. We have every right, and people go and find out the fact and put it on record that, listen, you're saying X, but it is Y. It doesn't add to the credibility of the country when the highest people are putting these claims. I still remember when Bhushan Steel had not yet been settled. It was expected to be settled. Mr. Piyush Goyal went and, made a loud statement that the NPA resolution is now completely taking place and this is the beginning of it and, tall claims. It never got resolved. The NPA resolution. We still are grappling with the crisis. The government doesn't know what to do with it.
Every day.
It is now wanting to, merge one bank with the other. But the crisis remains. But then you still had Mr. Piyush Goyal making this loud statement even before the first case was resolved. They end up losing credibility big time.
This is brushing problems under the carpet.
This is trying to spin doctor. This is trying to give a wrong image. Now, the stock market is in a free fall. It is in a crisis. The investors are nervous. If there was credibility of the finance minister, then it would have been very reassuring. It just reflects that they don't believe in his words.
So, Akhilesh, tell me, if this is the case, where is it going to land us? Because somewhere down the line, this seems to be increasing rather than decreasing. When they came into power, a lot of things that they said, their intentions were good, executions was bad, all of that, we agree. First GDP, when I remember we did a show together talking about the first their first declaration of the first quarter. And we said, okay, our intentions are good. At least they want to do something, but they are not able to execute. Now the thing is, Akhilesh, one doesn't even know what their intentions are. Because normally, the information that comes to us, they are doctored information.
And then with social media, they get multiple layered doctored.
I guess social media has become their core focus. I think every statement, every policy, every figure is made for the social media rather than for other bodies.
Statistics for employment, statistics for inflation, statistics for GDP growth, statistics of resolution of the NPA crisis, statistics related to MSP, statistics related to industrial growth, they all get suspect.
And they are not even there in the public forum. The head of statistics department, he has not been appointed. So your entire statistics, there are no official statistics. Every statistics that one talks about are the statistics that you get in social media.
No, the government does issue statistics. That is a fact. But the real issue is the credibility of the statistics.
No, the employment statistics have not come for the last so
many. Well, yes. While the employment statistics have not come, the government is now alluding to the EPFO figures. But the EPFO database has got nothing to do with new jobs created. It has to do with enrollment of the existing employees in the database of the government of India. So it does not mean that new jobs got created. So you're right. The employment statistics authentically have never been released. But there is still a very fierce claim on it by the government.
What about RBI, Akhilesh? Is RBI also following the suit? Or RBI at least has still holds certain amount of credibility?
My personal opinion has been that RBI has been towing the line of the government. And there have been numerous instances why we would want to say that. The last one which remains in memory still is when the government came up with that ordinance putting the entire blame or responsibility on resolution of NPAs on the RBI itself and said, now you drag everybody to NCLT. I think RBI at that point of time should have put its foot down. But they very meekly keep taking the government's line all the time. So I don't really think that they have stood up.
A small digression. What do you think is the core problem? Is it lack of experience or is it lack of intentions? What I mean by that is, Are we getting into these things like misinterpretation, misrepresentation? Because our ministers have not experienced enough. Jaitley didn't get enough experience in the handling ministry of such importance. Or is it because this has been the intention from the day one? This is the way out.
I think, Sujit, it starts from tall claims at the inception. I think it starts from there. It's like, you know, Mr. Modi guaranteeing that 15 lakhs per person is what would come into the bank account. So it's a tall claim without any connect with the ground reality. So I think it starts with a tall claim. And after that, there is no adequate study done on the ground reality. For example, at the moment, if you really ask me, there's very little that Mr. Jaitley can assure the economy or the money markets or the bond markets or the capital markets, because a lot that we are seeing today is beyond even India's control. What we are seeing is the impact of US-China war. We are seeing the impact of the oil price going up. We are seeing the impact of US-India tariff war. We are seeing the impact of a dollar being very strong. How can the government of India control it? I think at that point of time, if they are seized with the ground reality, they can make a very honest statement. And the market will accept it at that point of time. So even if that statement is one of helplessness, that, you know, what can we really do if the oil price has gone up? The market will, you know, accept it because it's an honest and credible statement. But not making those statements erodes credibility completely.
Actually, one very important question. And this is kind of a very important question. Who exactly is the finance minister of India? one really gets...
I would want that person to be called the finance minister whose one statement cools the market.
Isn't that also a crisis? See, there was a lot of rumors that, you know, demonetization was a unilateral decision that the Prime Minister took. Arun Jaitley didn't even know it. We came to know from a lot of quarters that Arun Jaitley was made to sit in a room and then, you know, all that stories, whether there are stories, facts, one doesn't know, but a lot of rumors that Arun Jaitley had no idea about demonetization. Then there was a rumor that Arun Jaitley was kept away from decisions like Ms. Sushma Swaraj, who hardly knew what was happening in the external affairs. So likewise, Arun Jaitley was kept aside, so he was not involved. Then Arun Jaitley was out because of his health reason. Then Arun Jaitley tried to come back, but then Piyush Goyal was already there. So you had Piyush Goyal taking one press conference, Arun Jaitley taking the next press conference. Do you think these basic management errors has cost us more than what, you know?
I think, you know, Sujit, when it comes to capital markets, money markets, bond markets, the economy, people are watching very sharply. They are watching very carefully. So all these apparent inconsistencies in behavior that you pointed out, they do send signals to the market that who's in charge. Because there is inconsistency in this. If the finance minister is the only man in charge, we get to feel and understand by the sheer way in which the government functions. But if there are very disparate and different statements coming, or if you have a finance ministry statement being, you know, spoken by somebody else, which is what we are seeing in this government all the time, then it does raise question marks on who's the boss. And if the boss is not clear, the policy will not be clear.
Absolutely. Akhilesh, I know we are running short of time, but I want to quickly ask this question because otherwise we cannot end this show. Akhilesh, has there been a strategic, well thought of, well-planned, well-scripted and well-executed one single policy by this government since May 2014, when the government took oath. At least one can you name?
You know, I wouldn't be able to name it in these precise terms you're saying. And you probably could be right, because somebody did the scripting, somebody else did the execution, somebody else then took the blame for failure, somebody else then did its revision. So I think it's been a hodgepodge situation. So I really can't pinpoint one policy directly where I would say, oh, throughout it has been executed beautifully. It doesn't really come to my mind.
So
really.
Should I be right if I say that there has not been a single economic policy laid out by this government which actually was thought, scripted, and executed well?
See, people might claim credit on this for GST, but I don't think it gets into the format that you're talking about. People might want to claim credit for FDI policies, but I again don't think it gets into the kind of precision you're talking about. So it doesn't really come to my mind.
So all these international visits of the Prime Minister, what has it finally got us? What has it finally got us in terms of rupee and paise? I don't want to say our power is very high and we are very popular in every other country and, you know, now Indian is all that jazz. Well,
see, I'll tell you what it achieved. It achieved two precise things according to me. One is, after the UPA 2 tenure and the kind of policy paralysis we faced, people were giving India a complete write-off situation. As they say, we became a part of the fragile five. I think that image has got cured. The second thing that it has done is, because of this image getting cured, they are interlinked, FDI has come into India into large numbers. Now, whether the FDI investors, after they came in, are satisfied or not, or their objectives were achieved, I wouldn't comment on that. But I think these two things were achieved. You needed somebody to convey an image. That image was conveyed.
So,
whether the investors are finally happy is a question mark.
Correct. I think all these visits, what actually you are saying, helped India is to correct the image of us being a economically at least stable country. To conclude, there are few positions, there are few offices in India whose credibility is at most to the survival and the growth of Indian economy and India as a country. And when those offices are compromised with lies, fake promises, misrepresentations, it directly affects the Indian economy. It directly affects India's growth. Finance Ministry is one of them. Namaskar. For more such episodes, please subscribe to HW News and press the bell icon for instant notification. Also, do give this video a like and share the video to spread the word around.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.